Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast with Matthew Sardo.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Holy sh! They're actually monkeys fighting robots!
You can follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots and on Instagram at monkeys fighting robots. Make sure to download and review our podcast from iTunes and Stitcher. And now, here's your host, Matt.
Welcome to the 131st episode of the Movie Show by Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today is a jam-packed episode as we talk about three films that are powerful in their own way. It, Crown Heights, and Chuck. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. I'm also the co-founder of MonkeysFightingRobots.com. If you like the show, subscribe on Blog Talk Radio and or drop us a few comments on the website. The reason why I take the time to host this podcast is because it is a chance for a few of us to connect about the films we love. Your comments are always greeted with a giant smile. So send me a few comments because I love them. I love them so much. And if you like comic books, make sure to check out our other podcast, The Comic Show, as well. Because it's good. If you like comics, it's good. It's good for you. I got a few updates for you guys, because it's been a little bit since our last podcast. Had to take some time off to fix the back end of the website and make it faster, and we worked on some new ad networks for the website that make the ads less intrusive so that when you click on the website, you have an enjoyable experience, because that's the main focus. It's a balance. I need to make a few bucks made doing this, but I also need to give you the best user experience as possible. So what is that balance between a few ads and your reading pleasure? I've been working really hard on trying to find a balance for that. And if you like what you're seeing, please let me know. If you don't like what you're seeing, let me know as well. And that's why we changed things, because people were sending us a few comments. They're like, hey, we're getting this crazy stuff going on. And I had to ditch a few ad networks because they were not giving you the best user experience possible. So that was the main focus of the past 2 months, is to push out tons of content and build a website that is super fast and doesn't have shitty ads on it. And I hope we accomplished that. Let me know if we did or not. In sad news, EJ is no longer with the podcast. We wish him only the best in his future creative efforts, and he will be sorely missed.
When you're a kid, you think the universe revolves around you. You think that you'll always be protected and cared for. Then, one day, you realize that's not true. Because when you're alone as a kid, the monsters see you as weaker. You don't even know they're getting closer. Until it's too late.
Here. Take it.
My grandfather thinks this town is cursed. That all the bad things that happen in this town are because of one thing. An evil thing.
Bill, if you'll come with me, you'll float too.
George.
I saw something.
A clown. Yeah, I saw him too.
What happens when another Georgie goes missing? Or one of us? Are you just gonna pretend it isn't happening like everyone else in this town?
If we stick together, we'll win.
Oh my God. That trailer, even though I've already seen the film, still scares the bejesus out of me. Oh man, I've been dreading going to see it since they said, hey, we're doing it. And I was like, oh my God, another clown. It's the scariest thing in the whole entire world. But this film was the most fun I've had in a theater in a very, very, very long time. Arachnophobia is probably the most fun I've ever had in a theater, with people screaming and the scares and the jumps and the whole entire experience of a film. Arachnophobia is kind of goofy compared to this film, but there are a lot of funny moments, a lot of scary moments, a lot of what the fuck moments. Like the opening scene, I was like, I cannot believe that they went there with the opening scene. I was blown away with the opening scene. It's so creepy. It's so menacing. And then when the shit actually happens, I was like, oh my God. There were so many times in this film where my eyeballs were so wide open of disbelief of what just happened. And oh, it's an amazing, amazing roller coaster of a ride. I'm 40 years old. So in 1988, I was 12 years old. And that's how old these kids are right now. So I grew up in upstate New York, which is kind of wooded and small town. And they were in a small town. And there's always some douchebags in a small town. And small town's always fucking scary with some crazy shit going on. Like, oh my God, I was the epitome of being scared of basements all the time. And this movie brought back all those fears, all the excitement of just, you know, riding your bikes and hiking through the woods and everything that I did as a kid was reflected in this film. And I was like, oh my God, they made a film for me. They finally made a film for me. And it was awesome. The jokes were awesome. The scares were awesome. The ending was awesome. The special effects were awesome. All the kids, I'm still blown away with like how good of actors kids are. Like I don't get it. This is just mind boggling how amazingly fun an actor you can be. Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, like that kid is a comedic genius. Like he just throws down lines like nobody's business and just owned his character. He owned Richie. Like he was just like, listen, here's a lot of dick jokes. Here's a lot of your mom jokes. And it's just in your face. He was so good. And there's something about like when kids freak out about a giant clown that is real, compared to adults freaking out in a horror film, teenagers / adults, you know, when it's like, oh my God, Jason is coming after us. But when you get a whole bunch of like kids and there's a giant clown with teeth coming after you and they're freaking out, like, oh, it's the Goonies scream. Like, you know, like the Goonies scream, it just etched in your brain. And they had the Goonies scream down and it was, oh, it was so glorious. I just want to gush about this film so much. And Sophie, who played Beverly Marsh in this, what a powerful actress. I cannot wait to see her grow and mature and just be an amazing leading lady, because she was an amazing leading lady in this film. Oh, so good. I was so impressed. And there's a few Molly Ringwald jokes about this girl. It's totally valid. The whole Losers Club, there was not a weak link at all in this group. They were all just like, I'm scared of little kids. Like, and it was awkward. The awkwardness is awesome. Like, it's just, oh, so good. And Billy Sarsgaard as Pennywise, Pennywise is a demon, and it's just, Sarsgaard is its one persona of the demon. Was he amazing? I don't know. He was definitely scary. And he pulled off some lines in the opening scene, just the conversation. Oh, man. With Georgie. And you're like, come on, Georgie, just walk away. Just walk away, Georgie. Please just walk away, Georgie. It's just brilliant. So good. I don't know how they pulled it off. I know they were super smart to break it up into two films, because you have this film, which is the horror Goonies going on. And then you're going to have the 40-year-old guys running around doing the same exact thing, which will be my generation too. Like, I'm so excited. Like, this is, it's like, hey, Matt, we made this movie for you. And it's about a demon trying to kill us all. It's going to be amazing. The cinematography was good with this film. The colors, you know, the scares. It's a big budget film. And the first Guardians of the Galaxy was a lot of fun and the pacing was well. And I left that theater like, oh my God, this is awesome. Because it was this crazy, awesome fun. But this is a big budget horror film where you got Pennywise and he's trying to torment these kids. And they're in high school for like a half a second. They're all getting out of high school. But like all those torments are there. And the bully and all that stuff is just brilliantly done. And I have a compassion for that point in time in my life where it's just like, you know, when you see it happen again, like it just, your skin kind of crawls a little bit. You're like, oh my God, the social awkwardness of all that is just there. And that's what I went through, those emotions. I went through this movie. And then to get to the ending, to have characters that are like, we're just going to hold together and we're going to defeat this guy and we're going to own it. Because I don't think they ever really had a plan of how they're going to defeat Pennywise. They're just, we're just going to defeat Pennywise. It's brilliant. It's just brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And Jaden Lieberher, he was in Midnight Special. He was in The Book of Henry. This kid is awesome. He was in St. Vincent. Like, I cannot talk about how awesome this kid is. And he played the stutterer from It. He played Billy. And he owns it. And just, it's a little kid stuttering. And, you know, these are these little acting quips that you would see. And you're like, oh my God, how is he pulling this off? How is he just holding it together? And then when he gives his powerful speech, it's just like, oh. You're like, oh my God, I love this kid so much. And I'm just going to gush about this film. But again, it is one of those things where you have friends, and who knows how long this friendship's going to last. And that's the point of this book, is that, you know, 27 years later, where is everybody? They're all over the place, all this other things. But like, there was like one point in time where these guys were thick as thieves and they took on the deepest, darkest danger of all time and they came out on top. It's just, this is one of those brilliant tales. I just love it. I gave the film 4.5 monkeys out of 5. If you go see It this weekend, I would love to hear from you and I would love for you to tell me what you thought of the film. So out of 5 monkeys, go see It and then shoot me back your rating. You can shoot it on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. So definitely check that out.
If you focus on your breathing, it'll bring you out of your mind and back into your body.
Come on.
Just know that you are not alone.
Crime today is an American epidemic.
There ain't no killer.
The system doesn't work for people who can't afford to defend themselves.
The whole neighborhood know what happened. The whole neighborhood know you grabbed the wrong guy.
I'm an innocent man!
I don't know you the way a mother should know her son.
Everyone saying you did something. After a while, you start to question yourself.
I'll work for free if you take a look at his case.
How are we gonna afford this?
You want me to leave him?
They gonna keep me in here until I say I kill that man. You know I would die before I do that.
We're gonna keep fighting for you.
You got your family, you got your life. Why are you still wasting your time on me?
It's not just about you. It's bigger than that.
Colin Warner lived in Texas
or Louisiana. He would have been executed long ago.
Longer sentences, more prisons.
They took everything from me.
More police.
Everything.
I can't just pretend this situation doesn't exist.
Well, this situation exists too.
The truth is going to come out.
Can't leave an innocent man in jail.
I'm gonna take you home. It's just a matter of time.
Crown Heights is a film that was not on my radar to begin with. But then Amazon reached out to me to review the film. And I was like, what is this film about? I don't know. It's usually not my cup of tea. High, intense, realistic dramas or, you know, based on real life experiences. But Crown Heights is one of those films that you kind of have to watch. And it's about Colin Warner, who is wrongly convicted of murder in 1980 and then serves 21 years in prison until his friend Carl King, who's been trying to get him out for 21 years, finally gets the case overturned and he is out. And this film quickly puts Colin in prison. You felt this film in your bones. And we've all seen prison movies, and we've all seen over-the-top prison stereotypes. But this was all about, like, the loneliness of prison and how you kind of just, you kind of fall apart. And you either fall apart or you, like, pull yourself together. And it's, oh, I've never felt so helpless in a film. Like, The Revenant, you're just getting beat up through the whole entire film. You're like, oh my God, oh my God. But this, there was this kind of this helplessness to it as you're viewing the film where you're like, oh, why is this not working out? Why is that not working out? And I don't know. Director Matt Ruskin, he also wrote this film. And it stars Lakeith Stanfield. And this is the guy who wants to be the Joker. He was also in Death Note. So this guy is an up-and-coming actor, and he does a phenomenal job. Everybody in the cast did a phenomenal job because it was just, it just moves along, and you're just kind of taken with it, and you just, oh, I can't talk about this. I'm watching it, and you just, it starts hitting you in the gut, you know, because this is real life. And then you watch how politicians and politics just kind of like make this guy, Colin, just get buried further and further into the prison system. And I don't know how he survived. I know I couldn't survive 21 years in prison. And it's just mind-boggling how a human can persevere. And again, this is just like we were talking about with It, like the friendship of Carl King to Colin Warner is so impressive. The tolls it takes over 21 years. Like, I got to get my friend out. I got to get my friend out. Like, he loses his family. He probably loses lots of money over this, you know, through the legal cases. Yeah. But he's like, listen, my friend got wrongly convicted and I have to get him out and I won't stop fighting until he gets out. And like, none of us have a friend like that. I don't think I have a friend that would spend 21 years fighting to get me out of prison. Like, maybe my wife, like, she might make it 15. I don't know. But it's just, it's a powerful, powerful tale. And I definitely think that everybody should check it out. It comes out this week as well. It's from Amazon Studios. Oh man, it's impressive. It is a very impressive. And Matt Ruskin, I mean, this guy is kind of moving up. He helped produce The Infiltrator. He doesn't have a lot of directing credits to his name. Nothing major that you would know, but Crown Heights just did a lot cinematically to just be very personal without being over the top. I saw It, which was a blockbuster film, and then I take it down a notch to Crown Heights, which is kind of like a personal indie film. And it's just so good in such a different way. Yet, it's still connected because it's friends being friends and going to the extreme to help one another. And this one was in real life. Like, I don't know how much more powerful it gets than that. And it's one of those films that kind of like resonates with me where I'm sitting there and I just don't get it. I'm upset about, you know, all the stupid things that happen to people in the world. But this is one little thing where it's like this guy got 21 years taken away from his life just because, you know, the film will explain all that to you. And it does it way better than I could because Matt wrote a really good film. And all the actors in there are great. It's monotone, but the monotone is there to give you this like loneliness and this helplessness to it. And there are certain moments cinematically that are just brilliant where Colin is sitting in his cell and he's dreaming. There's a lot of dream. I mean, like if you're in prison, you're going to be dreaming a lot. And, you know, right before the dream wakes up or before he wakes his eyes up, he's like, please don't be a prison cell. Please don't be a prison cell. And all those things that you would do to mentally get out of prison while in prison is just so powerful. So powerful. I gave this 4.25 monkeys out of 5. Check out the film. The film is Crown Heights. Comes out this week. Let me know what you think.
Here I am. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm Kimberly's dad.
Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Wepner.
You can call me Chuck or Champ. You follow boxing?
No, I don't.
No? You see Rocky?
Chuck.
You don't know me.
You don't, Chuck Wepner.
Well, you do know me, but you don't know you know me. Once upon a time, I was the heavyweight champ of New Jersey.
I was the best.
Hey, Dal, set my man up with whatever he wants.
And some guy named Stallone wrote a screenplay inspired by me. I was like, what?
It's the real Rocky.
I told you, you know me. A real Rocky.
Everything's gonna be different now, baby.
If you wanna keep working, you're gonna have to stay famous.
More you than meets the eye, Chuck Wepner.
Sometimes life is like a movie. Sometimes it's better.
Jesus.
Look at the picture.
Look at you, like he's your girlfriend.
Come on, just push the button.
The last film I want to quickly talk to you about came out over the summer, early summer, but it's now on iTunes and available to rent, and it's the Chuck. It's the guy that Rocky is based on. It's a drama inspired by the life of heavyweight boxer Chuck Wepner. This guy, he went 15 rounds of Muhammad Ali. After Muhammad Ali had the rumble in the jungle, just he's a bleeder, but he's got a really hard head. And Rocky was based off of this guy. And it stars Liev Schreiber, Elizabeth Moss, Naomi Watts, Michael Rapaport, and my boy Ron Perlman. Whew. And is that Jim Gaffigan? That guy. I think he swallowed his head. I don't know exactly what happened to him, but his head got wider and then he has no neck, or the neck just became his head. I don't know. Jim Gaffigan is not looking good in this film at all. But this is another raw film. And Liev Schreiber just puts on an acting clinic for me. Like, it's like this film kind of reminded me of like Better Call Saul, you know, because Chuck Wepner, he's not a very nice guy. But he's kind of a lovable loser, and you want him to succeed, but he continues to fail over and over again. And there's a really tough scene where he's auditioning in Rocky II with Stallone, and he's coked out of his mind, and he just fumbles it so much, and that was like his big chance to get money and he fails. And that drive back from Philly with his crazy chicks in the back and fat fatty Gaffigan is just the most depressing ride back ever. But there's like, it's like, oh, I'm going to be famous. I'm not going to be famous. Oh, I'm going to be famous. I'm not going to be famous. It's like a roller coaster ride. And Elizabeth Moss is brilliant in it as the wife who gets not abused, but abused. That whole athlete, when you're unsuccessful, that first lady that you meet, you abuse her. Sorry, man. It's hard. It's a rough life. I'm really starting to, I was always a fan of Naomi Watts, but like lately there's something going on with her that is more than the normal. And it's nice. It's nice. Whatever she's doing, I continue to do it. And she's doing a lot. She's so good. She's so good. And then having the Jersey accent thing going on there, it was perfect. It was perfect what she's doing right now. And Leave. I love this guy. He's got to be one of the most underrated actors of Hollywood right now. I don't understand why he is not doing more leading man, leading role type thing. Because he owns it. He owns it so well. I mean, he's almost 50 now, but I feel like there was a time where he could have just been like there. So there. But luckily we got Ray Donovan. And then Goon, The Last of Enforcers, that came out this week as well. So you can always see that as well. Oh, man. So good. So good. This was such a good week of films. I'm going to give Chuck 4 monkeys out of 5. That's what I'm going to give it. But this was such a good week of films, and I'm so glad to be talking to you guys again, because the shit's going to get crazy over the next few weeks. We got Blade Runner coming out. We got some Thor movie coming out. I'm not sure where I stand on this Very Bad Mom's Christmas, but Naughty Susan Sarandon, how could you not like that? If we get any flashbacks from Bull Durham, oi. That'll be tough. That'll be another rough one. I feel like rough is going to be the word. Oh, man. Such a good week. So we had It. We had Leaf Shriver and Chuck. And then we had Crown Heights. Oh, man. I'm based in Florida. And we got this little hurricane thing going on. So if you follow Monkeys Fighting Robots on Facebook, I might go a little live stream if it deserves it, of chaos. I don't know. My wife might yell at me for being like, get out of this dorm. You got a kid. If I get any cool footage, I would definitely put it up on Monkeys Fighting Robots. And you should see all three of these movies. And you should also let me know what you think of these movies. Like, rate them yourself, guys. Give me your ratings. How many monkeys are you giving these films? How many monkeys are you giving these films? It's going to be a lot of fun. I might see that again, like with a packed audience on Friday night. That's tomorrow. All right, guys. Enjoy the movies. Can't wait to talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. If you're in Florida or if you're in a hurricane realm, be safe.
Hey, Matt, we survived another episode. Oh, no!
Once again, there are several ways to continue the conversation at the show. Follow us on Twitter @monkeys_robots. You can look at all our silly photos on Instagram @monkeysfightingrobots. You can follow me on Twitter @MatthewSardo. The biggest compliment we receive is when the subscriber number goes up on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a chance, we'd greatly appreciate a review of our show on iTunes. As always, the best way to listen to the show is on our website, monkeysfightingrobots.com.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again.
There are so many people that made the 131st episode of the movie show a success. Jeff Shade is the creator of our amazing intros and outros. Jessica Wynn designed the Monkeys Fighting Robots logo. Are you a monkey? Are you a robot? The staff at Visual Realm built our website and keeps it running. To all my friends, family, and the interweb, thank you very much for your support. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.